Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. I love this time of day. I love this day because we get to talk about books and book picks from our favorite independent bookstores throughout the region. And we are thrilled to welcome Jackie Callahan from the Golden Notebook in Woodstock, New York, this morning for our selections for this week. How are you, my friend?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm well. It's really nice to see you. And I thank you so much for being here. Ready to go.
Yeah, we're so happy to be here, as always, to share what we're thinking on 29 Tinker Street.
Cool. All right, well, where would you like to begin?
All right, so today I want to begin with a new novel called Fox by Joyce Carol Oates. And this is especially for readers who love the genre of dark academia. Think Donna Tartt, psychological suspense, and morally complex characters. So the book is set at Langhorne Academy, which is a fancy prep school in southern New Jersey. And it begins with like an unsettling discovery where a human body part on the edge of campus is found by a dog. As local detectives begin to investigate, attention and interest turns to one of the school's most enigmatic figures, Professor Francis Harlan Fox, who is a brilliant and beloved English teacher with a gift for inspiring young minds and a troubling habit of cultivating unusually close relationships, particularly with his female students. And as the investigation deepens, the portrait of school culture emerges, and that culture is based on hierarchy, secrecy, and reverence for tradition. One could also say the blindness of adults. And it's told through like a mosaic of different characters, detectives, students, community members. It jumps back and forth in time. And it really draws the reader, I think, into a world where sort of intellectual brilliance can mask darker truths and like kind of gives visibility on an environment that perhaps nurtures, I'm just going to say, evil.
Yeah.
But also right. Fails to recognize it. And it can be a very discomforting place for readers. One of the things that I was thinking when I was reading this, it made me think weirdly of Lolita, in the sense that like Lolita, you know, some of the themes are there, but also like I always think of Lolita as a novel about America, and I think that in a way this novel is too. And so anyway, this book, super interesting. It's kind of a slow burn thriller. It's an exploration of power and complicity and, well, what we tell ourselves to survive. And guess what? Are doing an event. We are doing an event with Joyce Carol Oates on July 18th at the Kleiner James Center for Performing Arts in Woodstock at 5 p.m.
That is very cool. You've had her there before, right? You have a friendship with her? Or
I'm going to call it a friendship.
Yeah, that is very, very cool. I'm hesitating only because I want to say this.
Yeah,
is as reverentially as I possibly can.
Yeah,
but she is 87 years old.
She's awesome.
And this book is massive.
It's 600 pages.
And amazing. She's just amazing. We had an event with her for the last novel. And she's just unbelievable.
She's amazing. And I have to say, you know, this is a little plug for the event, but she has such a curious, nimble, fascinating mind.
Oh.
And it's so cool to hear what she says about anything, honestly.
Well, I certainly hope people will go and hear her speak and talk about the book and better than that, read the book.
Yeah.
But it is Fox, a novel by Joyce Carol Oates, and the event is on July 18th at 5 p.m. at the Kleiner James Center for the Performing Arts, and you can find out more by going to the Golden Notebook website. Okay, next up.
All right. Next up is a book called How to Save the Amazon, A Journalist's Fatal Quest for Answers. And this book is by Dom Phillips, but it was actually completed by his wife and colleagues. And so this book is, it's not just another environmental expose, it's the unfinished work of a British journalist named Dom Phillips. And he ventured deep into the Brazilian Amazon to explore threats like logging and mining and ranching and even organized crime. And he did this with Bruno Pereira, who's an indigenous rights defender. And so in the portion of the book that he himself wrote, he sort of combines, you know, a kind of historical approach to, like, how did things get so bad in the Amazon? And he, in addition to doing that, he's also looking at local solutions, many of them coming from the indigenous community. So local solutions like agroforestry and bioeconomic initiatives and ecotourism and indigenous-led conservation. And so while he was doing this work in the Amazon, Phillips and Pereira were killed, perhaps killed by some of the same criminals that were part of the investigative work that they were doing. And inspired by the work that he did and also by his legacy, his peers, including his partner and other journalists, kind of piece together the notes to finish the book and make it a book, right? And so this is a great book to read because it has, like, on-the-ground reportage and reflection and really captures the ecology of the Amazonian region and also some of the indigenous communities. And, you know, just one way to sort of end what I'm talking about is that, you know, how do we save the Amazon? What did Dom Phillips say about that? And he said that the world is not a disconnected, random series of nations and societies, but an interconnected whole whose survival depends on cooperation, not competition. And he thought that the answer to the Amazon was by listening to the indigenous people. Please read this book. It's wonderful.
Please read this book. It is How to Save the Amazon, A Journalist's Fatal Quest for Answers by Dom Phillips, and out now. All right.
All right. Next book. I have to say this list, like, has way more fiction than I ever read. It's uncharacteristically fiction-centered.
That's all right. We're good with both.
Yeah. So this next book is a book called Gulf by Mo Ogrodnik. And it's kind of like one of those books that sort of, like, pulls back the curtain a bit on a place that we think we know, which is the glitzy Gulf states. But it gives us, like, a kind of intimate, layered portrait there. It does this by focusing on five women whose lives span Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and beyond. And each of the women are navigating very different worlds, but they're all kind of in the same, I don't know, sort of access of power, privilege, migration, and survival. And so you'll meet Dunia, who's a Saudi woman drifting through postpartum depression. Flora, a Filipino domestic trying to find a foothold after family tragedy. Zina, who fled Syria and ended up in a really bad marriage. And Justine, an American art curator caught between ambition and cultural isolation in Abu Dhabi. And then Eskadare, who's a teenager from Ethiopia who is chasing a dream of opportunity but ends up in not a great place. Ogrodnik is a filmmaker, and so the writing is sort of, like, really visual and kind of tightly edited. The chapters are short, but, like, you know, there's a lot of emotional resonance. And I think that one of the things that I enjoyed most about this book is that it really focuses on gendered labor, coercion, migration, identity, you know, all through the lens of these five different women. So very interesting place to see and travel in Gulf by Mo Ogrodnik.
Gulf by Mo Ogrodnik. All right.
All right. Next book is S.A. Cosby's latest. I'm a big fan of S.A. Cosby, and I've read even all four of his books. He is a wonderful thriller writer, and some of the titles that he's published in the past, written and published, which have been super successful: Blacktop Wasteland, Razorblade Tears, and All the Sinners Bleed. And this, once again, is a sort of dark, thrilling novel. It's set in a down-and-out southern town called Jefferson Run, Virginia. And at the beginning, you meet Roman Carruthers, and he's a high-powered Atlanta-based wealth manager who's sort of like kind of separated himself from Jefferson Run. But a family emergency drags him back home. His father's had a mysterious accident and is in a coma. His younger brother, Dante, has kind of like gotten on the wrong side of a local gang. And his sister is really barely keeping the family business together, which is a crematorium, hence the title King of Ashes. Also, another factor is that their mother disappeared mysteriously 2 decades ago. And one of the things about this book that makes it just so great, like a lot of Cosby's books, is that there's like layers of suspense and quite a bit of violence also. And, you know, one of the things that Roman faces is that, you know, he's trying to keep his brother alive, he's trying to keep his sister safe, and he has to make some very difficult moral choices. Another character in this book is the Southern Virginia town of Jefferson Run. And I think that Cosby always does a great job in sort of giving visibility to the physical locations of his stories. So you have rusted out storefronts, you have racial tension, you have sort of hidden codes, and just people trying to do their best to lead decent lives in the place. Anyway, tight writing, real stakes, emotionally exciting, great summer read.
Yes, good stuff. People say this all the time, but it's literally on my nightstand. That's the next one to read. I'm very much looking forward to reading it. King of Ashes by S.A. Cosby, a great writer. All right, next up.
All right, next up is a book called El Dorado Drive, which is the 11th novel by the wonderful Megan Abbott. And I think that what she does in this novel is what she does best, which is gorgeous writing, complicated relationship, and a sort of creepy sense of dread. So where does this take place? We're in Metro Detroit, where three sisters, Deborah, Pam, and Harper Bishop, are doing their best to stay afloat as the city's auto industry wealth continues to crumble. They're each kind of in a crisis. Pam's been through a divorce and is trying to like keep up appearances. Deborah's drowning in medical bills. And Harper is rebounding from a difficult relationship. All of this is happening, and then along comes The Wheel. And The Wheel is a women-led financial empowerment circle, part investment, part support group, an all-pyramid scheme, I have to say. Each member contributes $5,000 and brings in others. And if it spins right, well, you know, it might work out. And at first it seems like things are going to work out, but you know how this goes. Yeah. It does not.
Wouldn't be a novel otherwise.
Exactly. And so it quickly becomes a thriller. Lots of incredible tension throughout. It's a whodunit. It's kind of a psychological unraveling. It's leading with heart. Please read it. You know, I think if you like a book like Little Lies, Big Little Lies, Little Fires Everywhere, this book has your name on it.
El Dorado Drive by Megan Abbott is now out. All right.
All right. Next book is a wonderful book called Hick, the trailblazing journalist who captured Eleanor Roosevelt's heart. And it's by Sarah Miller. And we were fortunate enough to do actually a couple of events with this author earlier in the month. And so Lorena Hickok is one of the most fearless reporters of the 1930s. She started from nothing, taking on menial jobs after escaping an abusive home. She is self-taught. She kind of fought to break into newsrooms at a time when women were limited to the society pages. But her talent could not be denied. She became an Associated Press star, covering everything from sports to politics, and eventually found her voice reporting during the Great Depression. And her vivid dispatches on everyday struggles helped shape relief efforts under the New Deal. A big turning point for her was she began covering Eleanor Roosevelt during FDR's 1932 campaign. And the two of them formed a lifelong bond, very affectionate and a very influential bond. And their closest beyond professional respect, intertwining both their hearts and careers. And Sarah Miller's book brings this story to life. It's a fantastic book about someone who has sort of a complex identity as a queer woman in a time when those kinds of truths were very much hidden in the shadows.
It's called Hick, the trailblazing journalist who captured Eleanor Roosevelt's heart. And it's by Sarah Miller and is now out. All right.
All right. So, you know, there's some authors that, like, I was thinking when I was getting ready to come on the air, just, like, give you goosebumps. And for me, like, Brian Selznick is one of those.
Yeah.
I just, every book that he writes, a combination of the words, but his illustrations, they honestly make my hair stand on end, just in the best way. There's so much emotion and care and heart in all of his books and all of his characters. And so his latest book is called Run Away With Me. And so imagine, this is the setting, a summer in Rome, 1986, and 16-year-old Danny arrives to spend the season with his mom. His mom's job, by the way, is restoring ancient books in a quiet museum, which is kind of like, I wish that I was doing that this summer, right?
Like a dream job right now, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, so back to Danny. He's wandering the cobbled streets, and he's just sort of like really enraptured by the different layers of history and art in the beautiful city. And then he meets Angelo, a mysterious Italian boy who seems wise beyond his years and knows every hidden corner of Rome. And what starts as a guide and tour companion becomes something of a deeper relationship. And through whispered stories of ancient lovers and moonlit walks past obelisks, fountains, as well as Keats' grave, they fall in love, knowing that their time is short. And so their summer together becomes a wonderful mosaic of art and history and friendship and love. And as I mentioned, this beautiful prose is mixed together with his incredible pencil drawings, some at the start, some at the end, but they add so much power to the story. So please do pick up Run Away With Me. I think that if you're wanting, you know, the sort of summer romance in a faraway city, this one will take your breath away.
It is Run Away With Me by Brian Selznick. And as you say, it's just absolutely gorgeous. And more text, perhaps, than we're used to in a Brian Selznick book.
Yeah.
But that's lovely because it's a great story and a lot going on. So
one of the things I love at the end of the book, too, I don't know, it's not a spoiler, but he has a series of drawings of the character, Danny and Angelo, and then you flip through and you see them age. But guess what? The character Danny looks a lot like Brian Selznick.
Yeah.
And you see this sort of aging maybe of a relationship that he has in real life. It's just so beautiful.
It really is a beautiful book. And it is called Run Away With Me by Brian Selznick. I interviewed Brian for the book show, and that is available online at WAMC.org. He's a fascinating, guy and a great interview. Was that it for books?
That was it.
All right.
7 books.
So that's a lot. That's great. Don't want to forget the event on July 18th with Joyce Carol Oates. Joyce Carol Oates, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
Fox, a novel by Joyce Carol Oates, is out or coming out?
It is out.
It is out and ready. The event is on July 18th at 5 p.m. at the Kleinert James Center for the Performing Arts, which is right across the street from the Golden Notebook. You can find out more by going to goldennotebook.com. Anything else you want to mention?
Oh, guess what? We actually have an event this Saturday too, July 5th with the Woods in cooperation with the Woodstock Library, and it's a wonderful book by Cal Hoffman. So please come out then if you're in Woodstock, 5 p.m.
goldennotebook.com. Jackie, you're the best. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe. You too.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.